Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific in Rancho Cucamonga, 9284 Baseline Road. If you can't join us in person, you can always join us on our live stream. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream or join us and watch any of our YouTubes at the Seed Christian Fellowship. Our prayer for you today is our mission statement, that you know the deep love of God just for you, that you grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and that you sow seeds of faith in our world as you go in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Seed believes in the Trinity, Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's our prayer for you. We have been doing a series on some of the old hymns of faith. We've been looking at the lives of the authors and how they came to write those hymns, and how those hymns have been sung throughout the ages. We've looked at Great is Thy Faithfulness, How Great Thou Art, and Blessed Assurance. Today, we will look at my mom's favorite hymn. The song we would sing today is a message about God our Father in all of nature. Not only seeing God our Father, but hearing Him in the birds of the air and the rustling grass. Do you know that? Can you do that? Can you see our Creator in the morning sunrises or evening sunsets? The other day I saw a green parrot fly into our backyard. A green parrot. Haven't the clouds been spectacular over the mountains lately? This really is our Father's world. So the song we're looking at is This Is My Father's World. Before we come to our scriptures for today, let us come to the throne of our Heavenly Father in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. God our Father, we come to hear you speak to us of the wonders of your mercy and of your grace. We ask, Lord God, that you would be with us. Touch our hearts with your living words of life and fill us with your perfect peace and your powerful presence. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Guide us and lead us today and forevermore. Amen. I wish we had the time to read all of the Psalms that speak of the sovereignty and the majesty of God. I love reading the Psalms in the early morning as the sun's coming up and listening to the birds sing. I'm not sure, but just in case you have not ever heard me say this, I encourage you to take and read a psalm a day. I try to read 5 psalms a day, and I can go through the book of Psalms in a month and start back over again at the beginning of the month. The scholars say that the psalms are for heart therapy. John Calvin says the psalms are the anatomy of all parts of the soul. Today we'll look at Psalm 47 and then jump into Matthew chapter 6. As I read, I ask you to think about the sovereignty of God as your Heavenly Father. Put yourself into this story called the Bible and let the story live in you. Are you ready? Let's go. Let's jump in. Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. Wow, isn't that beautiful? For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of God, the God of Abraham, for the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. And turn to your New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, the longest teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor is dressed like one of these. If that is God, how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Verse 33, But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. The hymn, This Is My Father's World, was written in the late 1800s by a Presbyterian pastor by the name of Maltby D. Babcock. Maltby was an excellent student who went to Syracuse University. He was not only intelligent, he was also very athletic, the captain of the baseball team and an expert swimmer. He was not only gifted in athletics, but he was also in the university orchestra playing several instruments and composed original compositions. He was a proficient vocalist and even directed the university glee club. It was said that he entertained other students with his drawings and doing his impersonations. Maltby was also an avid fisherman. To be honest with you, Maltby would have been successful in any undertaking he attempted. But God had a calling on Maltby's life, and he entered seminary at Auburn Theological Seminary. His first call out of seminary was to a Presbyterian church in Lockport, New York. Lockport was located in a beautiful area between Lake Erie and Lake Ontario, very near Niagara Falls. Maltby enjoyed hiking and running in the hills outside of his home. On many days, he would tell his secretary, quote, I am going out to see my father's world, unquote. That's a good thought. Maybe we should say that when we go out the door. I'm going out to see my father's world. That's a good so what question. How many times do we miss going outside to see our father's world? Every morning, God our Father brings the sun up. Some sunrises are magnificent and some are cloudy, yet behind those clouds the sun is still shining. Every evening as the day begins to settle, the sun goes down and our Heavenly Father paints another masterpiece in the sky. Wow, I love sunrises. I also like sunsets. In 1886, Maltby was called to Brown Memorial Church in Baltimore. While he was there, he traveled widely and was in great demand on college campuses. In 1889, he moved to Brick Presbyterian Church in New York City. The workload there was enormous. In one of his writings from that church, he wrote these words, quote, Be strong. We are not here to play, to dream, or to drift. We have hard work to do and loads to lift. Shun not the struggle, face it. 'Tis God's gift, be strong. He wrote that to himself in the 1889. When he was 42 years old, his church presented him with a special gift. It was a dream come true, a trip to the Holy Land. With great excitement, Maltby departed by ship en route to Naples, Italy. He was seized with a deadly bacterial infection and died at the International Hospital on May 18, 1901. After his death, his wife compiled his writings into a book entitled Thoughts for Everyday Living, published in 1901. Included in that book was Maltby's hymn, This Is My Father's World. I'm not going to sing it to you, but I'm going to read the verses or the choruses. This is my father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. Wow, what a great hymn. What great verses to think about. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. Our passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, finds us in the middle of Jesus' famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sat down and taught his followers many basic principles that he wanted them to put into practice. Jesus taught on the basics of prayer, about being the salt and the light of the world. He tackled tough issues like anger, lust, divorce, retaliation, loving your enemies, giving to the needy, fasting, and money. I find it interesting that right before his teaching about worry and living in the now and here, he teaches his disciples about money. In verses 19 to 24, Jesus focuses on the attitude towards luxury, which is the unnecessary physical possessions we store and stockpile for selfish reasons. Wow. In verse 25 to 34, Jesus focuses on our attitude of what we will eat, drink, and wear, the necessities of life, what we absolutely need to exist. In a way, the previous passage is directed towards the rich, and the passage that we read today is directed towards the poor. Have you put yourself into this story? Are you with me? Whether you're rich or poor, you are faced with your own spiritual problems. The rich are tempted to trust their own possessions, and the poor are tempted to doubt God's provision. Let me say that again. The rich are tempted to trust their own possessions, and the poor are tempted to doubt God's provision. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to pray for you. If you've got a prayer concern, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer concerns. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. Let me say this again. The rich are tempted to trust their own possessions, and the poor are tempted to doubt God's provision. Whether we are rich or poor, we are tempted to worry, to be anxious, or to be afraid. Have you ever noticed that the word nowhere can also be now and here? You'd have to see it visually, but now and here is the same spelling as nowhere. We can live in the nowhere land of fear, worry, and anxiety, or we can live in the now and here and trust in the personal presence of God's providence, God's provision, and God's protection. Do you know that in 1966, John Lennon and Paul McCartney wrote a song titled Nowhere Man, recorded by the Beatles on their Rubber Soul album? The lyrics went something like this. He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. He's as blind as he can be, just sees what he wants to see. Nowhere man, can you see me at all? Nowhere man, don't worry. Take your time, don't worry. In our culture today, we are overwhelmed with worry. We cannot turn on the news or pick up the newspaper without being overwhelmed. And now that we have smartphones, they can let you know second by second of the dreadful things happening, so we can now worry all day and all night. That's something else, isn't it? We can worry all the time. I believe when we worry, we actually become nowhere men and women, sitting in our nowhere lands, making our nowhere plans for nobody. The heart of Jesus' message in our passage is, do not worry, not even about necessities. Jesus gives the command to not worry or not be anxious three times, in verse 25, in verse 31, and in verse 34. He says, do not worry about your life. Do not worry saying, what will you eat? What will you drink? What will you wear? Do not worry about tomorrow. The word worry or worries is used 6 times in 10 verses. That is enough for me to say, stop, look, and listen. Jesus has something important to say to us about worry. In the Greek, the command, do not worry, includes the idea of stopping what is already being done. The English term worry comes from the old German word, which means, well, it means to strangle or choke. That is exactly what worry does. It's kind of a mental or emotional strangulation which causes more mental and physical afflictions than any other single cause. Arthur Roach once wrote these words, "Worry and fear are sort of Siamese twins. Anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained." Think of how a river running through the mountains formed the Grand Canyon. So what? How many of us listening today get paralyzed by our worries and fears? I can't see you raise your hand if you're driving, keep your hands on your wheel. But how many of us here get paralyzed by our worries and fears? How many of us get drained of all of our emotional and physical energy because of our anxious thoughts? In her last years of life, Corrie Ten Boom wrote this, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows. It empties today of our strength." Now that's worth repeating. Worry does not empty tomorrow of our sorrows. It empties today of our strength. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Jesus tells his followers that he tells us to live in the now and here, to be present to the presence of Almighty God. Do not live in the nowhere land of the past with the worries and fears it brings. Do not live in the anxious fears of the future. Live in the present, in the now and here. This really is my Father's world. As Christians, we are to be content because it is the Lord who provides. An ancient name given to God was Jehovah Jireh, which means my provider, or the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That is the name Abraham gave to God when he provided a lamb to sacrifice in place of his son Isaac. Think of it for a minute. If Abraham, with his limited knowledge of God, could be so trusting and content, how much more should we who know about Christ trust his provisions on the cross? Paul wrote in the book of Philippians these great words in chapter 4. He says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The needs that Jesus mentions here in Matthew 6 are the most basic needs: what we will eat, what we will drink, or what we will wear. We are to trust Jesus for the most basic things in life. This is my Father's world, is trusting in Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Now, my wife says that if you know me, I will make friends with everyone. Once, when we were living in a different town, I had a wonderful experience. I was mowing my lawn, and the mail carrier came walking up to my house. It was Jerry. I had not seen Jerry in over a year since he was transferred to another route. I shut my mower off, and we began to talk, and then he asked me if I would pray for his mom to have God's protection since she was going through some medical problems. We stopped everything we were doing and held hands there in front of my house and asked God for his protection for Jerry's mom. Psalm 18 came to my mind, Psalm 18:2, and I prayed it. I said, "Well, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my fortress, the Lord is my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." we ended our prayer, and Jerry went on to finish his work, and I went on to finish mowing my yard. As I was mowing, I thought of how often I miss the now and here opportunities to trust God in not only His provision, but His protection. I turned my worries and fears over in my mind. I don't know, do you turn your worries and fears over in your mind, allowing them to make ruts in the mind and to drain you of all your strength physically and emotionally? Just the other day, I had another mail carrier text me. John, his name, had a stroke several years ago, and I went to see him in the hospital. He became friends, we became friends, and we've remained friends. He's homebound. I text him often. He texts me often. I have been to his house to share communion. John has never attended the Seed Christian Church, the church I pastor. He's never been there in person, but the seed has gone to John. And over the years, we've texted weekly. Just the other day, John wrote me and told me that he had prayed with his Aunt Ida, and she accepted Christ. Wow. See, that is our prayer here, that you will know God's amazing love, that you'll grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and that you'll go and sow seeds of faith. My friend John led his aunt to Christ. That is God's provision and protection over Aunt Edna. God's provision, God's protection. Jesus gives his followers the answer to do not worry. The answer is found in verse 33. But seek first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What a wonderful promise there in this passage to help us fight off the fears and worries that come our way. Seek first, or strive first, for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The first and foremost thing that we are to do when it comes to worry is to seek first the kingdom of God. When we live in the present, the now and here, we really can forget about the past. We do not need to allow the fear of the future to consume us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This allows us to become now and here people. Nowhere man, please listen. You don't know what you're missing. That was the song. The second promise that's found in this verse is, all these things will be given unto you. All these things will be given unto you. What wonderful news. You do not have to earn them or work for them. They will be given to you when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The so what question for us, how do we apply the presence, provision, protection of God to the now and here, so that we do not live in the worry, fear, and anxiety of the nowhere land with all its nowhere plans for nobody? Let me give you three little words. We're going to run out of time. We'll come back to it next week. Stay tuned for part two of this. But three little words we can use when worry worms its way into our life, or fear falls upon you like a dark night of the soul, or anxiety anesthetizes your emotions. There are three little words. We learned them as a child. Stop, look, and listen. Stop, look, and listen. That's my word for you today. Stop worrying. Look around. This is my Father's world. And listen to God's great love for you. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for this day. This is our Father's world. May we always see you in all that we see in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know, God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.